بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation on the beneficial saying of the book of Tawheed, and we are in chapter 8. And the author, rahimahullah, was mentioning the ruqa. The ruqa, plural of ruqya, ruqa, incantations, charm, etc. So all the incantations that are free from shirk in any, in all of its forms, then they are permissible. Or the ruqa that are free from shirk in all of its forms, then they are permissible. Whether the same textual evidence is used, the wording, or other than that, from the invocations or words which are free from shirk. Like the invocation using the ruqya, Allahumma rabba an-nas, O Allah, the Lord of mankind, of the people, adhib al-ba's, relieve the illness, ishfi anta shafi, bring the cure, cause the healing, you are the one who heals. This is part of a ruqya. Or the person may say himself, Allahumma aafihi, O Allah, give him a good state of well-being. Allahumma shfihi, O Allah, heal him, cure him. That's permissible. However, in any form, if it contains any kind of shirk, then it is not permissible. Like, for example, O jinni, ya jinni, anqidhu. O jinni, save him. Or, ya fulan, al-mayyit, O such and such, the deceased, heal him. This is shirk. This is shirk. Also, the incantations regarding the influence of the evil eye, to ward off the influence of the evil eye. Also, the incantations, the ruqa, used to be mentioned upon being bitten by a poisonous insect, snake, scorpion. We have evidences for that. But this is not limited to these situations. It is not limited to these situations or to these incantations, rather. Because we know that the Prophet ﷺ used to blow on his hands when he, before going to sleep, and reciting the ma'udat, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, and wipes his hands over whatever he can reach of his body. And this is in Al-Bukhari and in Muslim. And this is from ruqya. So it is not limited to the incantations regarding disturbance under the effect of an evil eye, or in case of being bitten by a poisonous animal or an insect. And as to the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet والسلام, لا رقيا إلا من عين أو حمى, there is no رقيا, incantation, except from an evil eye or being bitten by a poisonous snake, This means la istirqa, meaning there is no seeking of ruqya. Except from an evil eye or being bitten by an insect. So the one who inflicts the evil influence of the eye is asked to recite upon the person affected. And also in the case of being bitten by a poisonous animal or insect, the person may ask from others to recite upon him. Because this is beneficial, as in the hadith of Abi Sa'id, when they were out and a leader of the Kafirs was bit by a scorpion, and then one of the companions recited the Fatiha on him and he was cured. And we discussed this earlier in previous class. Now, what are the conditions for the permissibility of ruqya? First, one must not believe that the ruqya is of a benefit in itself independently from Allah. This is very important. If he believes that, then this is forbidden. Rather, it is shirk. He must believe that it is a cause, and that it is only beneficial by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, it must not be of the type that opposes the Sharia. Like, for example, if it involves invoking other than Allah, or seeking help or refuge in jinn and so forth, then this is forbidden, but rather it is shirk. The third, and this is very important to remember, this third one as well, all of these things are very important, that it must be clearly stated and understood. You know, one should know what is being recited or said. So if it is of the talasim type, if it is of the talasim type, what is the talasim type? Talasim are different forms. From that is a seal, like inscribed with mysterious words or characters or figures. Magical combination of things. Some circles, some points, some numbers. This is not permissible. As to the tamaim, talismans and amulets, if they are of a forbidden type, then definitely they are not permissible. Or if the person believes that they are beneficial by themselves independently from Allah, again, they are not permissible. Or if they are written in certain ways which are not understood, then they are not permissible under all these situations. Now, if the conditions concerning the amulets are met, meaning the person believes that they benefit by the will of Allah, and that they are not opposing the Sharia, and they are in clear words. The people of knowledge differed regarding using them, as we discussed earlier. As we discussed earlier concerning the use of amulets, if they fulfill these conditions. And the precautionary thing we mentioned was the way of Abdullah bin Mas'ud and his companions, is not to use them. Because in principle, the legal ruling is not to be used until it is known that the thing is approved by the Sunnah. We discussed this matter when we talked about when in the case if the Tamima is from the Quran, if the talisman is from the Quran or the amulet using verses from the Quran. The precautionary thing is not to use them. Then the author, rahimahullah, reported the narration of Imam Ahmad from Ruwayfa' radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, Ya Ruwayfa, O Ruwayfa, لعل الحياة ستطول بك. It may be that you will live a longer time after me. فأخبر الناس أن من عقد لحيته أو تقلد وترى أو استنجى برجيع دابة أو عظم فإن محمدا بريء منه. Or Waifa, it may be that you will live a longer time after me. So inform people that whoever ties a knot in his beard, places any string or cord around the neck as a charm, or cleans himself after the call of nature with animal dung or bone, then Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم has nothing to do with him. So concerning the one who ties a knot in his beard, the Arabs use not to take from their beard. And we know that this is now the Sunnah, but in origin the Arabs did not take from their beards. However, they used to tie their beards for different reasons. From that is pride and magnification. So you find some would make knots on the side of his beard, or in the middle, one tie, one knot, so that it becomes known that he is a great man and that he is a leader in his people. The second, they used to do that also for fearing the influence of the evil eye, because in case it is beautiful, and then they tie it in order to look like, you know, ugly. So anyone who ties it for that reason, the Prophet ﷺ disassociated himself from him, has nothing to do with him. And it is also a practice done by some common people that whenever they get food from the market, they take some of the food and they throw it on the earth, thinking that this wards off the evil eye. And this is a corrupt belief, and it is in opposition to the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا سَقَطَتْ لُقْمَةُ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلْيُمِتْ مَا بِهَا مِنَ الْأَذَى وَلْيَأْكُلْهَا. As in Sahih Muslim, Hadith number 5044, when anyone of you drops a mouthful, he should pick it up and remove any of the filth on it and then eat it. The second thing in this narration is the one who uses strings or cords around the neck. Strings or some of these are taken from the nerves of sheep and so forth. And some people use it as a string for their bow, and they also put it around their necks or around the necks of camels and horses, or around their own necks, claiming that this wards off the evil eye. And this is from shirk. Also in the hadith, in this narration, or cleans himself after the call of nature with animal dung or bone. This is when the person cleans himself. Here he is forbidden, as in other authentic narrations, he is forbidden to use the dung and the bones. And the Prophet ﷺ forbade that because the dung is the feed for the jinn, or, as in other narration, feed of their cattle. And the bone is their food, where they find it. Covered with abundant meat, if the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned upon the food when the person eats, the meat and the bones are left, then these bones will be covered with abundant meat for the jinn. The author, rahimahullah, also cited the saying of Sa'id bin Jubayr in the narration reported by Waqi'. He said, مَنْ قَطَعَ تَمِيمَةً مِنْ إِنسَانٍ كَانَ كَعَدْلِ رَقَبَةٍ. Whoever cuts an amulet or talisman from anyone, it would be equal to liberating a slave. It will be equal to liberating a slave. What's the relevance in this narration here? Relevance between cutting a talisman or an amulet and freeing a slave. It is because if the person cuts that from a human, takes it away from a person, an amulet or a talisman, it is as if he frees him from the slavery of shirk, and thus frees him from hell. However, it should be pointed that in case a person sees another person having these things on him, then he should take it in a good way, because the violence could lead to a dispute. Unless the person is a person of authority, like a leader or a judge or one in authority, then in this case he can cut it right away. And then also the author, rahimahullah, mentioned from Sa'id bin Jubayr from Ibrahim and Nakhai, these are the companions of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, that Ibrahim and Nakhai said, كانوا يكرهون التمائم كلها من القرآن وغير القرآن. They, the companions, used to hate التمائم, the amulets and talismans, and they used to remove them, or whether this, it was from the Quran or other than the Quran. And as you see, that this is the opinion of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and so his companions, like those who were mentioned, see the same as his opinion, meaning كانوا يكرهون, those meaning referring to the companions of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, okay, not on Ibrahim and Sa'id bin Jubayr. Of course, these were not companions, but they related Ibrahim that they, referring to the companions of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, they used to dislike every type of amulet and talisman, because they are with the opinion of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, and Abdullah bin Mas'ud hated the tamaim, whether they are from the Quran or other than the Quran. The tamima is that which is hung on an ill person or a sound person, whether it's from the Quran or other than the Quran, intending the cure or to ward off the evil eye, or the same which is put on animals as well. Now in our times, hanging the Quran is not meant to be as a cure, but rather it is meant to be for seeking blessing and decoration, like golden necklaces or jewelry where the name of magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is imprinted on them, or Ayat al-Kursi also, or even the entire Quran hung on walls. All of this is from innovations. Quran was not revealed to be a cure in this way, but rather to be a cure in the legal way. Then the author, rahimahullah, mentioned the issues, which is his style, after finishing a chapter. And he says that this chapter has certain masail, certain issues and cases. And from that, he mentioned the first case is, which we came across, is tafsir al-ruqa wa tamaim, explanation of the meaning of ruqa and tamaim. And then the second is the interpretation of at-tiwala. And you know what is at-tiwala now? What is at-tiwala? I'm asking you. What is at-tiwala? What is at-tiwala? What does it mean? We discussed this in the last class. Yes, exactly, Zafar. This is something which people attach on the spouse, thinking that this will bring closer the husband to his wife, or the wife to her husband, and love and so forth. And this is shirk, because it is not a legal nor a universal cause for love. It is neither a legal nor a universal cause for love. And from that we mentioned the what is called the engagement ring. If people believe that this is a connection between the spouses, as discussed also last time. Then the author mentioned that ruqa and tamaim and tiwala, all of it are from shirk, without exception. And the words of the author, as you can tell, he included the ruqa, the incantations, without exception. And this is to be re-examined, because as we discussed earlier, some of the ruqa are affirmed from the Prophet ﷺ that they are used as incantations. And some whereby person does not seek them. So to generalizing it to include all forms is needs to be readdressed, or requires this kind of pointing to understanding it in the proper perspective as discussed earlier. And we know now, with respect to the tamima also, some of it is of shirk, and some of it there is ikhtilaf concerning it, if it is from the Quran. So again, however, the tiwala, unexceptionally, it is from shirk. And also we learned that the recitation of the incantations, whether using the words of truth for seeking protection from evil eye or scorpion bite or snake bite, is not from shirk, and it is not limited to these two situations, but it is more than that. Meaning that incantation can be used also with respect to magic. From these issues which he, rahimahullah, mentioned, is that attaching or tying the bowstring, or rather putting the necklaces on animals against evil eye, amounts to committing shirk. And recently, something new appeared. Bracelets of copper. It's claimed that using these kind of rings made from copper, if someone puts them around joints or certain parts of the body, they claim that it cures from rheumatic fevers, joint rheumatic diseases. And we don't know whether this is authentic or not. But in principle, this is incorrect, because we don't have a legal evidence nor a physical evidence for that. And it does not have an effect on the body. It doesn't have even a fatty substance in it, so that we may say that the body absorbs this fat substance and then benefits from it. So in principle, it is forbidden until it is affirmed by a way of explicit evidence, clear, authentic, that it has direct connection to this rheumatic disease or these rheumatic diseases. The also from this we can also add this recent wave of reviving a practice done by some Jewish sects, where they use strings and threads, red in color, put around the wrist as a protection, warding of harm. This is again from shirk, and it's it is from shirk, and it is spread in some societies by the infamous actresses and so forth. The next issue is that there is a severe warning concerning tying bowstring, because the Prophet ﷺ declared himself free from the one who does that. Even it is apparent that this could be, or this is a kufr that takes the person out of the fold of Islam. قال الله تعالى in Surah At-Tawbah 9:3, وأذان من الله ورسوله إلى الناس يوم الحج الأكبر أن الله بريء من المشركين ورسوله. And a declaration from Allah and His Messenger to mankind on the greatest day, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, that Allah is free from all obligations to the mushriks, and so is His Messenger. However, the people of knowledge said that this association of declaring oneself free, this is being free from the action, itself. As in the saying, or either one, bow strings around on animals and putting it on one's neck as necklaces and so forth. This is like freeing oneself from the action, like the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, "Man ghashana falaysa minna," whoever deceives us and then he is not from us. Whoever deceives or cheats us is not from us. So the disassociation here, as some of the scholars have mentioned, is a disassociation from the action itself. The next issue which the author mentioned is he mentioned that the reward of a person who cuts off an omelet of someone, based on the narration of Sa'id bin Jubayr, that this is like freeing a slave. Now, is the saying of Sa'id bin Jubayr, does the saying of Sa'id bin Jubayr stand as a hujja, as a proof, or not? If it is to be said that it is not a hujja, a proof, so how come the author said the reward of a person who cuts off an omelet of someone? The answer is, it is as such because this is freeing of the person from the slavery of shirk, and it is as if he freed him, but rather more profound. So this is by way of analogy. Whoever frees a self from shirk, it is as if he freed it from slavery, because he freed the person from the slavery of shaitan and desires. Now, this brings the end of the discussion on this important chapter, and inshallah ta'ala in the next talk we will move to chapter number 9, and It is entitled من تبرك بشجر أو حجر ونحوهما. Whoever seeks blessing through a tree, a stone, or the like. والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.